Good morning, I'm Kyle Omler with the Guru Chris Bellina, and you are listening to The Blitz. Huge news, obviously. Jolly is practicing. He's practicing in full up in Green Bay. Huge news.
Huge.
You know,
I think there's a little bigger news than that today.
A couple other people may have had some action today. I cannot believe. I feel so bad for Cleveland fans. I just do. They can't get a break. And now what cracks me up about that is they were all outraged that they even drafted Trent Richardson. Oh, if you're going to, you know, trade that pick, and then they picked him, and now they're all outraged that they're getting rid of Trent Richardson.
He's been injury prone. I'll play devil's advocate here. He's been injury prone. Hasn't produced this year. I mean, granted, they don't have a passing game, but they do have a really good offensive line, and he hasn't really had the touches. That type of running back is kind of a thing of the past. That big bruising running back, it's a passing league. And, you know, he doesn't fit what the NFL, the direction you're going. And I almost question the Colts for trading for him. I question the Colts trading for him more than I question Cleveland giving him up, honestly.
I do too. But
what are they going to do with him? He doesn't catch the ball out of the backfield. You're not going to run him 30 times when you have Andrew Luck back there. You have Ahmad Bradshaw. You have Donald Brown. Unless you're not sold on Ahmad Bradshaw or you're going to go to two-headed monster. But what are you going to do with the guy?
They gave up a first-rounder for him, so they're going to have him back there playing all the time. I don't see that as a problem. I think that all Trent Richardson owners should be fine. They should be happy. They went from
be, because I'm one of them.
They should be fine because now at least they have a guy in an offense that has a much bigger threat at the passing position that'll take that pressure off and allow him to run. It's kind of a Reggie Bush situation where they throw so much in Indy that the lanes just open wide up for Reggie to run through them.
Yeah.
So if these lanes open up like that for Richardson, I mean, that guy, he can play. There's no denying that.
I'm wondering what they're going to – I mean, how long before he gets the offense down? Is it a similar offense? I mean, I'm not familiar. Is it a similar offense? Because if he can't pick up the blitz package in that offense, he's not playing. It's the first time he misses a blitz – and Andrew Luck gets flattened, he'll never see the field again.
I'm curious about that as well, as to how soon he can figure it out.
Fantasy owners like myself who have him, boy, we may want to consider trading him.
And then who's going to be the actual starting running back then? Who needs to be targeted out there in Cleveland? They brought in McGahee?
Agbayani or whatever his name is, Abayano, or I don't know.
Yeah, McGahee was signed, so do you think he's going to be the guy who ends up being the featured person? Or is he going to be just – is this going to be plug and play?
He's not fantasy. No fantasy value there.
I just don't get it. I know they signed that guy Rainey off the practice squad of Baltimore. Baltimore tried to hide him out there. They're excited about him. They hurry up and snagged him really quick in Cleveland. And then the next thing you know, this happens. So so maybe they're seeing a lot of really good stuff out of this guy that they grabbed off of the practice squad. And then for insurance and goal line, maybe they bring in McGahee for that kind of thing. Because McGahee could definitely pass block. That's one thing he can do.
Oh, yeah.
And what made him so successful. So, anyways, we're done dwelling on this for now. We're going to move on. We're going to talk about the games this coming this week. And the first game on Thursday that we're going to be talking about is the Eagles going against Kansas City. Eagles, the Eagles look, they're just very much kind of like they were last year, a little bit all over the place. Sure, they got a great offense, but that defense can't seem to stop anybody. And when they run into a situation against San Diego, it looked like Rivers knew everything that was coming, and he was just picking them apart. And then the Chiefs, your team, the Chiefs, man, they just keep winning.
Well, the thing is with the Chiefs is they're not seeing a lot of fantasy value out of these players, but NFL-wise, doing well. I'll start with the Chiefs. Guys who are must-starts, you got to get Dwayne Bowe. You got to start Jamal Charles. And this is a game where I would consider, if you don't have that frontline quarterback, if you don't have Breeze, Rodgers, that level of quarterback, and Alex Smith is your backup, these are the games you put them in.
Yeah, if you don't start them now, when are you going to start them?
Yeah, other than a bye week, this is the game where you're looking, because Eagles are going to score. Eagles are going to put up a 30 spot, okay? And off the bus, they're putting in a 30 spot, the way that offense is going. But they're going to give up 37.
Yeah, right.
This is a must-start for Alex Smith, a must-start for Jamal Charles. Get Dwayne Bowe in your lineup. If you're looking for a possible fourth receiver or flex player, Donnie Avery. I'm saying you load up with Chiefs this week because you're going against what I would consider one of the worst defenses in the league. Although, notoriously, and in last year, the big trend was Thursday games, you didn't have a lot of scoring in them.
Yeah, they were awful last year.
Well, you don't have a much – you can't put in a whole playbook. But you really can't because you only have 4 days to prepare, 3 days really to prepare.
You would think, though, that would be have the opposite effect. You'd think it would be bad for the defenses to try and catch up to that
team. You can't put as many plays because you can't practice them. You're limited in your playbook. Now, the Eagles are going to score 30 regardless, even with a limited playbook. You want to play as many Chiefs as you can. If you're flip-flopping between middle-of-the-road players and there's a Chief available, I would go with a Chief. Now, on the other side, Michael Vick's looking good. He's a real good fantasy option, and he's a must-start for fantasy owners. Another one, he's probably started with somebody's backup. Issue is, he's going to get hurt at some point. So you just got to ride the wave while you can. So get your fantasy value from him while you can. LeSean McCoy is probably going to be the top running back by the end of the year. Big mistake I made, I didn't take him over Trent Richardson.
I did tell you to pick him.
Yes, you did. A little birdie told me to do that, but I just didn't know how he was going to do in the offense. I couldn't see him holding up and being a 25-carry guy. I wanted a bell cow.
Well, I think it's interesting. He's actually requested less carries. He's like, please, can somebody else get the ball in this offense?
Well, right, but he's going to get some big plays. He's going to break a 50-yarder potentially every other game. DeSean Jackson paying dividends for fantasy owners right out of the gate.
Unreal. That's a guy that you called early and said he was going to have a great year, and he is, wow.
Yep. If injuries aside, that's coming too. Value, I would stay away from the tight ends. They used them a little bit opening day. They barely used them last week. This game, get your Chiefs in your lineup. You play Vic, you play McCoy, you play DeSean Jackson. Nobody really jumps out at me, sleeper for the Eagles. They pretty much have been the same dominant players dominating the fantasy points. I'm not playing in Avant. I'm not playing a Riley Cooper because the Chiefs do have some semblance of a defense. That was really who I would play with, just the mainstream guys.
Baltimore and Houston. What I find to be the most interesting stat in this game is that Joe Flacco and Matt Schaub are 1-2 in passing attempts.
Yeah.
These traditionally running teams are throwing it up like crazy.
Lack of defense. That's what it is. Being behind in games is really what it is. So I wouldn't read too much into it. I wouldn't get all excited because, don't forget, Baltimore got blown out the first week, had to throw the ball.
I cannot believe how fast they abandoned Ray Rice in those games.
Well, right. And same thing with Houston. They were down big to San Diego. They were down a couple of scores to the Titans, which means you got to throw the ball.
It does go back to what you were saying about Richardson, though. Yeah. Saying that's not the kind of league we're in anymore. We can't have these running backs that need to run all the time. You're just not getting running backs that are going to have 30 carries a game anymore. So this is a team who did that exclusively in Baltimore, and now they're putting all their money and all of their eggs all on Joe Flacco to throw it 100 times.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll start with them. You want to look at Bernard Pierce this week. Ray Rice is a little banged up. I like the way he runs. He's fast. He hits the hole hard. I think he could be, if he gets 20 carries a game, you can get 100 yards at him.
Absolutely.
So if you drafted him as a handcuff for Ray Rice or drafted him in case Ray Rice got hurt, well, now's your opportunity to use him. It's whether you'll use him or not. If you have him on your bench and he's a flex player, get him in your lineup. This is the week to get him in your lineup. You know, I'll tell you, of all the receivers that Baltimore has, I think the guy with the best upside is Marlon Brown.
He's getting steady targets all the time.
I'm not sold on Torrey Smith. I've never been a Torrey Smith fan. He's just a one-trick pony. I like this Marlon Brown. If you have a keeper league or he's on your way in the waiver wire, he's someone you definitely want to look to pick up. So not really that much on the Baltimore side as far as fantasy options. Flacco's probably somebody's backup. It's not really the greatest matchups. I'd stay away from playing Flacco unless you really had to.
Now, the tight end is a wasteland there now.
No tight ends there. Dixon never panned out for his draft status. Obviously, the loss of Pitta hurts that whole entire offense. Dallas Clark is a shell of what he used to be. So there's no fantasy value there. Brandon Stokely, guy's older than I am, so he's not going to be able to do anything fantasy-wise. I would say on the Texans, I'm not a big Matt Schaub fan for fantasy. I said that in the beginning of the year. He wasn't in my top 20, and I know he's got a lot of attempts, but he just doesn't knock my socks off and want me to run to get him in my lineup.
I'm going to check. Yeah, I got to see like 5 weeks of this, and then I'll ask you again. If he does it 5 weeks in a row, then you might change your tune, right?
Well, right. And the thing is, too, they're splitting carries with Arian Foster and Ben Tate. And when you're used to having one guy, you can't tell me that doesn't hurt the rhythm of the offense when you start changing that, taking that guy out and putting another guy in. And they should be running Arian Foster, giving him a series off here and there. But then splitting carries hurts both of their fantasy value. And if I have another option, I may not play Arian Foster. And if you picked up James Starks on waivers or you're 3 or 4 deep at running back, look at the matchup. I'd consider sitting Arian Foster this week. Oof. He's not going to put the big – they're going to use Ben Tate a lot more. And honestly, he's running the ball a lot better now. He's running the ball better than Arian Foster is. And if he gets the hot hand, he may get more carries. We know he can run the ball. We've seen what he can do in Arian Foster's absence. You know, Owen Daniels is a steady producer at tight end. He's got to be in your lineup if you have him. Andre Johnson, the same thing if he's playing. I mean, I know he's got the concussion, but didn't seem to be serious. And DeAndre Hopkins. When Andre Johnson left the game, he became the go-to guy, and he caught everything in sight. That's a real, real big thing for those who drafted him in a keeper league or dynasty league. And he's probably a good option for you as a third or fourth receiver this week. I like DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins is the reason why I think people need to start paying attention to Matt Schaub's numbers.
Think so, huh?
Yeah, I do. I think that I'm not sold. I'm like you. I'm not going to say it's 100%, but he's never had that guy like DeAndre Hopkins, opposite of Andre Johnson. So now he has this new weapon that he hasn't had there before. So maybe, just maybe, they're going to allow him to throw a little bit more than he has in the past.
Well, I'll tell you who's really going to benefit from that. It's going to be Owen Daniels. He's going to see a lot of open middle of the field.
Yes, that guy is having a great year right now.
Yeah.
So 2 games in, I know, but still, it's more than I expected him to do. So
starting to see trends.
Yeah, Carolina, New York Giants. Man.
Play everybody.
David Wilson? Play David Wilson?
No. Everybody but David Wilson. Well, I'm going to start with Carolina. I think Cam Newton's going to have one of his big breakout games. Reason being is Giants are weak at linebacker, and those are the guys who are going to have to key on Cam Newton.
Giants have linebackers? I mean,
no, they have no linebackers.
Exactly.
I think this is going to be a big game for Greg Olsen. Huge, huge game. Probably the best game Cam Newton's going to have this year is this week. I'm liking what I'm seeing out of D'Angelo Williams, the fact that they're giving him the ball 20 times a game. Eventually, he's going to break one. He's going to get you a touchdown. Again, if you have Arian Foster as your starter and D'Angelo Williams on your bench, you may want to sit Foster and play D'Angelo Williams.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm telling you, I like what I'm seeing from D'Angelo Williams. He looks fresh.
You've got to have a giant cojones to do that.
You know, I'm telling you, I know. I'm tempted to sit Trent Richardson this week till I see how they utilize him.
That one's at least a little understandable.
Yeah. Steve Smith's a must start. I mean, that guy's going to play till he's, 40. That guy's just doesn't seem to age at all. He's just productive. He's tough. The only guy can catch the ball, and he catches the ball. So there's a lot of must starts in this game. On the other side, again, the chalk is there. Eli Manning. I would stay away from the running backs. David Wilson, let me see what they do with him first, because right now, all he's doing is trying not to fumble. He's not trying to get 5 yards. He's trying not to fumble. Until he gets out of that, he's not really a good fantasy option. Brandon Myers looks like he's a pretty good target. If you're struggling for a tight end, he may be an option. And you're going to play I think you should play all three wide receivers. If you have Ruben Randall as a low-end number three or number four or flex player, Cruz and Hakeem Nicks, they're must-starts.
Moving on, next game here, we're looking at the Green Bay Packers and the Cincinnati Bengals. This is going to be a fantasy explosion.
I'm loving it. You can go down the list. Again, Andy Dalton, I said he's going to take the leap this year. He had a little setback on Monday night. He didn't have a great fantasy game.
He's still doing great. Still doing great, though.
This is a game he puts up significant numbers. So if he's your backup, you may want to look at who's your starter and what the matchup is. And then you might want to get him in your lineup. I'm still staying away from the running back situation. I'm still not all warm and fuzzy about Bernard Giovanni. They still mix it in too much. Let me see a little bit more out of him before I anoint him a must-start, regardless of who they're playing. Same thing with the tight end situation. They're both getting equal amount, but to be honest, neither one of them are fantasy values. So really, the only guys I'm looking to start on Cincinnati is Dalton and A.J. Green. And A.J. Green is going to, like I said, he's going to have an explosion this week. Again, if you're desperate, I'd say play one of those guys because there's going to be a lot of points. But I'm not saying any of those guys are must-starts other than A.J. Green and Andy Dalton. On the other side, obviously Aaron Rodgers. But, James Stark looked pretty good.
He did.
Really good. Now, I'm sure he was in the top waiver wire pickup. I picked him up on waivers. I'd like to see another game out of them before I used them. But, a lot of people are going to draft him to start him. So I don't have a problem with that. He may be somebody who just keeps doing it week in and week out. Looks like they want to run the ball there.
He was a preemptive pickup for me because the last thing I want to do is lose because a guy picked up James Starks against me.
Yeah, yeah. I picked him up. I had actually the worst record in my league, believe it or not.
I believe it, actually.
I pick all over the place because I try and I take risks. So
Aaron Rodgers is going to mop up in catch-up duty, I think, in this game, because I don't think that Green Bay is going to win this game. I think that Cincinnati is for real, and they're going to put a lot of pressure on, and they're going to try and build a lead on them, and I think then that Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers are going to start airing it out to get back into the game. So I don't think they'll pull it out, but I think it'll be one of those crazy high-scoring games, and Rodgers will walk away with 475 yards or some crazy number like that.
Well, I'll tell you, there's been some disappointments on that. I mean, James Jones hasn't really done anything. JerMichael Finley's been okay for a tight end. Jordy Nelson had a pretty good game. Cobb did, but he threw for 1,000 yards and 5 touchdowns or whatever he threw for last week. A lot of fantasy options on Green Bay. Pick your poison. I'd be a little leery with James Jones. He hasn't seemed to get into a rhythm this year after a big year last year. So again, you can't go wrong with playing any Packers.
Is Jordy Nelson going to be the leading receiver this week?
I still like Randall Cobb.
Still like Randall Cobb, huh? Okay, yeah. That's fair. It's just so tough, though, isn't it? You're looking at guys that are all going to get around 80 yards, probably. All adding up to Rodgers getting a great game, but none of them having this amazing game like an A.J. Green's going to get on the other side. So
it'd be huge.
Dez Bryant, how's he looking down there in Dallas going against the St. Louis Rams, who have, of course, a very serious defensive back core?
Man amongst boys.
Doesn't matter, huh?
Doesn't matter. Dez Bryant's a must-start. A little disappointed what I saw from Miles Austin last week. I thought he'd be a little bit more productive. Didn't really do much. Same thing with Witten. Very disappointed so far with DeMarco Murray. Again, that's why I'm in last place. Those are my running backs, Trent Richardson and DeMarco Murray. Neither one of them seen the end zone. Neither one of them seen 100 yards yet. I mean, this isn't going to be the week where it happens. St. Louis's run defense is bad, but I think it's going to be one of those games where it's just Tony Romo's going to throw the ball, and you're going to see big numbers out of Tony Romo and Dez Bryant. I really think you're going to play DeMarco Murray, of course. You're going to play the big names on Dallas's offense for fantasy value, but really the only ones I see being productive are going to be Romo and Dez Bryant. On the other side, there's nobody on there that I would play. Really nobody I would say, you got to get him in your lineup. I haven't seen enough of him. Jared Cook, he's up, he's down. Bradford, okay game, big game. Richardson really hasn't done anything to say he's a fantasy option. Unless you have to, I wouldn't really play any Rams.
Ooh, no Rams, huh?
No, not
Tavon
a Ram.
Austin, I think he's still not being, again, everybody gets really excited about these receivers when they come in, and you've said it 100 times. They're rookies. Rookies take time.
Yep.
Okay, don't expect a miracle to happen right away. Even Julio Jones and A.J. Green, I think people have very bad memories and don't realize when they came in, it's not like they came in and they started getting 100-yard games right away. Took them a little bit of time to get going. So Austin has been targeted. His targets keep going up in the last 2 weeks. Give him a little time.
Yep.
It's still the Rams. Let's keep that in mind also. Right. Bradford is also the guy in the league who I think he was actually tied with Matt Schaub with the second most attempts in the league. So they're throwing it a ton down there in St. Louis. So don't give up on Austin yet. What do you think about Austin Pettis?
I just think if there's other options out there on more consistent teams, I would play them.
What about as a waiver wire pickup for him?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's worth just having on your roster, especially if you're deep, have deep rosters. But ultimately, I would just say there's other options. I would stay away from the Rams. Nobody's really identified themselves as the number one guy. So I would just say at this point, I wouldn't put him on your roster.
But Pettis is at least not a complete mirage. He's a guy who is getting targeted, and you think that will continue then?
They're going to be throwing the ball because they're going to be behind in a lot of games. It wouldn't hurt you to have him on your roster. Would I go make sure I had him on my roster? No. Would I play him? Only in desperation right now, till I see otherwise. Again, in 3 weeks, we may be saying, God, he's a must start.
There you go. Put a bit in for him, but if you don't get him, don't lose any sleep over not getting him.
Not now.
Denver Broncos, Oakland Raiders. This could be a massacre here. I just don't see any hope for this is your eliminator pick right here. Pick the Denver Broncos for sure win.
We'll start with Oakland. McFadden, had a big game. They're going to feed him early to try and keep Peyton Manning off the field. You're going to see some runs from Terrell Pryor, who hasn't looked horrible, I might add. I don't know if he's a fantasy option yet, but with his running yard, he could be at some point. But I'm going to take any new receivers or tight end. I would play Darren McFadden because he's a brand name, and you got to play your brand names. On the other end, pick whoever you want to put in there is a good move with a Denver Bronco, other than the running backs. Obviously, Manning, of course. I know Marino had a big game, but you don't know if this week they're going to go into more of Monte Ball. And really, until there's an exclusive, I would still stay away from the running back situation. As far as the receivers, he looks like he's spreading the wealth. I didn't think he'd do that, but he just has such great numbers. All three receivers and the tight end are getting their share. So any four of those are worth a start.
So you're avoiding all of the running backs. They're just nobody's consistent enough for your taste.
Nope.
And receivers, you're basically starting all of them except for Decker.
Well, I'd play Decker if he's in your lineup. You might as well. I'd play them all. I said play all four of them. Play the three receivers and Julius Thomas.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go then. I guess I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
I thought you said not Decker. I don't know where I heard that from. Sorry about that. But then on the other side, which receiver in Oakland? Anybody going to step forward? Don't tell me Ford.
No, I'm getting more and more disappointed with him. I mean, Rod Streeter would probably be the one that stands out. But honestly, there's a guy, if I'm going to be playing a guy in Oakland outside of Darren McFadden, Marcel Reese, you know, may have some possibility. Catch the ball out of the backfield. He runs the ball. He'll probably get the goal lines. Nice, versatile guy.
Miami, Atlanta. Atlanta lost their linebacker. One of their good starting linebackers. They got to try and find somebody to fill in the void right there, but that could open up a lot of running lanes for Miami. Maybe Lamar Miller could put it together. He's already been warned, basically. I think what's interesting about that is he's been told he's not the starter, then he's the starter, then he's told whoever's hot's going to get the ball. It's like, is this all just a bunch of...
If there's another option, I would go with it until it's figured out. Again, if you have to play three running backs or you're desperate spot for a flex player, I would go with Miller. But other than that, I try and stay away from that. New fantasy option is joined into the league now in Charles Clay. They used him a la Marcel Reese.
Yeah.
Running the ball, throwing the ball, catching the ball, goal line, whatever. So
he may have some value. He reminded me of Chris Cooley. That's what he reminded me of. Back there in that H-back position where he's like, is he still qualify as a tight end?
Yeah.
That's the kind of guy you want who qualifies as a tight end but runs the ball sometimes. Well, wonderful. Well,
right. And last week, I mean, like I said about Mike Wallace, is after him chirping.
Great call. Great call about Mike Wallace.
Just get him in your lineup, play him. I'm saying it again. Get Mike Wallace in your lineup. Not a big fan of him, but I think he's got something to prove. I think his own mother telling him to shut up and play may have woke him up. Guys, I'm looking, I mean, in Tannehill, I'm sure he's somebody second or even third quarterback on a redraft team. He's got to get a look in this game. He's got to get a little bit of a look. If your quarterback's going against a good defense, if you can find a good defense, you may want to look at Tannehill because, you know what, he's turning into be a pretty good quarterback. On the other side, Matt Ryan's a stud. Steven Jackson's hurt. Who knows how much he's going to play? That does elevate the value of Jaquez Rodgers. So if you're desperate need of a running back.
So you think Rodgers is a guy, not Snelling?
I would think Rodgers. Snelling's just never really – he's had a couple of games in his career filling in for Michael Turner, but other than that, he's never really panned out.
That's how I feel about both those guys, though, because I thought last year with Rodgers, I was like, if he was ever going to get a chance to steal the job and just take it, that was last year. And he just didn't do it. That's why I'm thinking I'm actually leaning more towards Snelling in that case because they've already seen that that Rodgers can't do it. So let's give Snelling a try.
If we're not sure, that means don't play it.
That's true.
Guys. I mean, if we're not locking in on somebody, I would say, look, pass on that running back situation. As far as receivers, Roddy White's been banged up. I'm wondering if it may be time to maybe look, let's sit him down for a little bit. You know, until his ankle gets better.
He's absolutely.
Zero fantasy production. I would say if you have another option, maybe go for that option. If you're not sure between him or Decker or him or
Brian Hartline on the other
side. Hartline or something like that. You may want to sit Roddy White. I know it's a bold move, but right now, and you know, you may want to look at picking up Harry Douglas. He could be a good flex option for you. I mean, Julio Jones is a no-brainer. I mean, even Tony Gonzalez hasn't done much this year. I would be real concerned right now with Roddy White and his ankle. Those are the things. Legs with receivers are they just can linger all year. They need their ankles to cut. And if you can't cut in and out of your break as a wide receiver, you're useless. You're easy to cover. And that's the problem with Roddy White right now. So he's someone I would say is a brand name you need to sit. And it's standard guys, Ryan, Gonzalez, and Julio Jones. You got to play, of course.
Back to the Miami Dolphins, though. Brian Hartline, do you think he's going to have a bounce-back game, more like the first game against the Browns or more like week two?
I think he's going to be in the middle. I mean, I think he's going to be a 70-yard guy. He's going to get six touchdowns this year. You hope you play him in the week that he has one of those touchdowns. But he's not going to have that one game like he had last year, but that was just a freak occurrence. He's a middle-of-the-road wide receiver on a team with a growing quarterback that looks like it's going to utilize its tight end, which means it's going to hurt what his production would be, that short yardage, quick out. They've been using Charles Clay on that, and he's not a guy who's going to get down the field. That's Mike Wallace's job. So where is he really going to fit in? He's going to be targeted a bunch. He'll probably get, again, five to seven receptions, 60, 70 yards, a touchdown sprinkle in every other game, every third game maybe.
So we started the podcast off with the Browns. We're going to end it with the Browns. Browns against Minnesota. Josh Gordon's coming back. He's going to walk into the locker room, and he's not even going to recognize anybody there anymore. He's like, where's Brandon Whedon? Where's Richardson? What's happening? He's going to be in for, I think, a rough game week one. What do you think?
Not a lot of fantasy options in this game.
Hey, wake up over there. Let's go.
You know, not a lot of fantasy. That's what this game is boring. That's why you're on at the perfect time. I see two fantasy options in this entire game. Jordan Cameron and Adrian Peterson. I don't know if you could stretch anybody else in there. But again, Jerome Simpson had a big first game, non-existent the second game. Greg Jennings hasn't done anything yet, nor has Kyle Rudolph. Ponder's been pedestrian at best. Cordell Patterson had a kickoff return, but it's really not a factor in the offense. And the other, I mean, we're going to be playing Hoying, Hoyer, or, you know, so even Richards or Campbell's not, I mean, that team's in disarray.
Well, let me tell you, when I watched that game at the end, and I thought, oh, good, he's going to come in, they're going to bring in the backup. I'm like, seriously, they're bringing in the backup. He has one job, and when he went out there and he looked on the three plays he got to play, as bad as he looked, I said right then, they need to cut him right now. Just cut him. Just go ahead and cut Jason Campbell. Obviously, he can't play football anymore. Well, and then the team decided to – I was right, obviously, in my assumptions. He's still on the team, but they're not starting him. That's crazy.
I know Pittsburgh was high on Hoyer when they had him. They didn't want to get rid of him. Maybe one of those guys that just, you know, gets the opportunity and unfortunately just doesn't have the weapon. So you really never know if he's going to have – if he has what it takes. Because he's got Josh Gordon back, who – keep an eye on. Problem is, you don't know what the quarterback situation. Greg Little hasn't panned out. Devon Bess hasn't panned out. But Jordan Cameron, and that's it. Even Trent Richardson was not even doing anything. I would definitely stay away from the running back situation. Whoever they put in there is going to be. It's not like they had a superstar in the making. And that's why they could. Richardson was expendable. There are people bringing in people who weren't even on teams. I would stay away from really anyone but Jordan Cameron.
Yeah, guys off of practice squads, guys that nobody else wanted, and McGahee is apparently a guy who they brought in. Christian Bonner's got to be excited, though. Hey, I might get a win.
Yeah.
Another win. Yeah. You know, this is going to be an instant win, I think, for Minnesota. And this might be another one of your eliminator pools if you're looking for a team. But the Browns are in, like you said, total disarray. So, put your money down on Minnesota. This is going to be, I think, a pretty easy win for them.
Yep.
Half the teams. We've covered them, half the teams so far. Come on back. We're going to have some more here. For Chris Bellina, the Guru, I'm Kyle Almer. You've been listening to The Blitz.
Going.